You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
There are some things during the game, it's like, what is he doing? Oh, great job. You know, because he's not doing exactly the way you drew it up, and yet he has a feel and a keen instinct. And look, you got to let these guys play. He is an instinctive player. I'd never want to pull that away from him.
I mean, I've thought about this a lot. You know, I mean, and Andy, nobody deserves it more than Andy. You know, and he's such a great coach. You know, to not have a Super Bowl win, you know, under his belt. I mean, this would be huge. I mean, I don't know if I'd stop crying with him. I'd probably hug him forever.
It'd be amazing, obviously. I mean, the work and that he's put in every single day, every single where he's been at. I mean, he's had success, and so obviously we want to get him that Super Bowl.
Would you be happier for him or for yourself?
I'd probably be happier for him for sure. But I mean, I think. I'll be pretty happy, too, for myself.
And now, still waiting for Snowpocalypse 2, Soren Petro.
That's right. Oh, are you talking about the one that came after the one we got today?
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't Snowpocalypse last week and then last Friday? And it's like, when this going to happen again? And
today was Icemageddon.
Icemageddon.
Is that what it was? Irish guy. Irish assassin.
Icemageddon.
Yeah, he's in the Irish Mafia. Icemageddon, they called him. Iceman. Ice for short.
Oh.
Icemageddon.
How can you forget Icemageddon?
Ruthless killer.
Ruthless killer. Heartless, I tell you. Boyo.
He came at you in sheets.
There's no stopping him. Firing away lefts and rights.
We take things too far. Let's just
sometimes we do.
Not far enough. Keep going. What else about this Irish mythical character?
Yeah, this mythical Irish killer. Icemageddon.
Oh, I don't think so, lad.
Suddenly
everyone turns into the Irish Spring guy.
Little leprechaun running around.
What was it? Some Irish comic had this bit that they would play jokes on her. Her dad was very, very thick Irish broke, and her friends would call and leave them messages that he were like from Irish Spring commercials. He had no idea. Oh, Jennifer called and said,
"Those kids that have to be Lucky Charms."
I like Lucky Charms. It was a League of Their Own, the big girl.
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
So, yeah, Jennifer called and said, "Manly, yes, but I like it too." Don't know what she was talking about. Oh, laugh.
All right, we're going to talk some Chiefs football here today. We're going to shock the world and talk Chiefs football.
The house.
AFC championship game is going to happen. By the way, thanks to our friends at Rally House, by the way. Great time had by all. Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Beavis Catering did a fantastic job. A lot of people ate some great, great food. Mr. Beavis Catering, at Mr. Beavis Catering on Facebook. You can check out the great work that they do. The folks at Rally House just had all the Chiefs gear you could possibly want, and it's still there at all your neighborhood Rally Houses. So make sure you get by and get stocked up. Great hats and scarves and all the Chiefs stuff you could possibly want. It is there, everything for your tailgate, glasses, grilling supplies. They got it all, and as we mentioned, even personal garments. Literally. I mean.
Literally.
Nothing says,
support.
Let's celebrate a trip to the Super Bowl like some Chiefs boxers for the fellas and some ladies' underwear. The panties, I think they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Nothing.
That's commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're a super fan.
That's when you're a fan.
We've gone through the what a super fan is. You know, you have to have seen your team play on the road, have to have outdated equipment. That would qualify.
Outdated gear,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, equipment would be odd if you actually had, like, someone's mouthpiece.
Bo Richter's got a non-sanctioned helmet he stole from the locker room. Does that make him a super fan?
It could be.
Outdated equipment.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some Chiefs football. We'll talk Titans football. Darren McFarlane, ESPN 102.5. Is going to be with us. Is that right? I'm guessing.
Yes.
Traveling? Is he traveling? What's going on?
I don't believe he's traveling. Our friend Chase something or other was traveling
here. Icemageddon?
Chase Icemageddon got caught up maybe in Atlanta, I think, is where they finally ended their travels. And they're going to fly in tomorrow.
By the way, and we'd like to point out that they were traveling from Nashville to Kansas City, and it ended in Atlanta. So go figure.
Yes. So
I think a compass might have helped.
His co-host, Darren McFarland, is going to come on with us.
It's going to be tough. At some point, here's the question. At some point, will you call him Darren McFadden?
Strong possibility.
Because I almost did, and I think Jed almost did, too.
I might just call him Boog.
Boog. Right. So, Boog.
What is? Oh, it's Anthony. Anthony is Booger McFarland's real first name. Bob Glauber is going to be with us. He is traveling tomorrow. He likes to live life on the edge.
Yep.
Travel in hours before the game. That's Bob Glauber. From the New York Newsday, he'll be with us in the 3 o'clock hour. 2-minute drill at 4, Adam Teicher. After the drill, roughly 4:30-ish.
He's not traveling.
No.
He's here.
He's happy that he's not traveling.
He's seldom happy about anything.
By the way, I'll point out that Adam Teicher brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be a nice time to have your man cave set up. And if it's not, get over to Family Leisure. Floor model sale going on right now, by the way. Foosball. Take it to work. We got a foosball table at work.
Yep.
You have a fun office? Get over to Family Leisure and give your employees some decent stuff to, you know, blow off some steam. You rat.
You son of a.
Go get some fun stuff at your office.
Why?
Definitely for your house.
Yeah. House first, office
Dennis
second.
And the guys and gals got everything for you. Family Leisure. It involves family. It involves fun. It's a Family Leisure.
Yeah.
Good rule of thumb.
Yep.
Kevin Harlan's going to be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. That's a live Kevin Harlan at 5.
Only doing one of the two games this weekend.
Yeah, we've...
Much to his disapproval.
Well, he wanted to do both, but Briscoe put his foot down and said no.
Sorry, Kevin. Only one game.
One game. For Kevin Harlan. So we got a lot of Chiefs football to get to. I'm going to start. Do we have that Sammy Watkins piece? I know we spent no time actually putting any thought into the show. And we only had, an extra, 10 minutes of press conferences to actually get our act together. So here you go, live radio, Kansas City. Let's hear Sammy Watkins. I think this is an interesting piece because I think it gives a window into the soul of this team and a confidence that this team has that past Chiefs teams didn't. Okay? Listen to what Sammy Watkins just, here's his whole cut. What was it? What was he asked about? I'm not
about...
even really interested in what he was asked about. It's part of what he says in there, but just to set it up, right? What was he?
Just about the offense and the confidence and all the playmakers, it is.
Yeah, the playmakers. I think they were referencing Tyreek Hill's comments and how
about a three question answer kind of stretch there.
How confident they are as an offense?
It's amazing. I think we have one of the best teams, best athletes, and sometimes you do kind of sit back and watch them like what he's going to do, and think everybody on our team can do some wild, crazy stuff. But our quarterback do the most amazing things with his eyes, the way he throw the ball, the way he carries himself, and I think if he's the if he's come ready like he's been doing, we should be fine.
Focus on the part at the end. He does some wild, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if our quarterback comes ready, we're going to be fine.
He has been or something like that.
Yeah, right? Like he has been.
Yeah.
You can take that one of two ways. You can take it like, well, what he's saying is sometimes he doesn't come ready. And so he better make sure he's ready this time. I would say no, that's not the right way to take it. I don't think that's necessarily what the conversation is about. What it says to me is Sammy Watkins is saying, we have 15, we're not going to lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, I continue to do interviews with different towns. I continue to be asked about Andy Reid. Well, you know, he can't get it done in the playoffs. I continue to say what, if you've listened to the program, you've heard me say many times. I think there's going to be before Patrick and after Patrick Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid has had good quarterbacks, but not great quarterbacks. Now it's Andy Reid with a great quarterback. And great coaches to a man, say maybe only Joe Gibbs, all had great quarterbacks. Bill Parcells winning with Jeff Hostetler and Phil Sims, that's impressive. Phil Sims was pretty damn good, though.
Yeah.
Jeff Hostetler was all right. they only had to make the run through the playoffs. Phil Sims got them to that point. And then they ran through the playoffs with Jeff Hostetler. But he was a competent quarterback. There's only a handful of times that championships have been won with less than a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now, part of the reason is if you win a championship, it's almost an automatic ticket to get in. But Jim Plunkett's not in.
Nope. He won too.
But he played at a high level. He played maybe at a near Hall of Fame level for a couple of years. His body of work as a whole in his career, that's what keeps him out. But he was playing at a really high level for the Raiders when they went to the two Super Bowls with him. But pretty much that's what you got to have. So, you listen, we've talked about that a lot, and you've heard me say it before. But to me, and we're going to see what happens. I've got a couple of questions I'd like people to chew on, and then you can grab a line at 913-3810-810. But to me, when I heard Sammy Watkins say that yesterday, and we'll turn around some of the stuff you just heard at the podium today later on here in the program. When I heard that, that to me was the window into the soul of this team. As long as the quarterback is right. And I almost think that statement was as much about health, right? If he's right, if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. It's a term you will use. I think that's how Sammy Watkins actually meant it. If he's right, if he's healthy, we got nothing to fear. The confidence of this team, the confidence of almost any team with a great quarterback, comes from the quarterback. He does things that you know other quarterbacks can't do. You don't quit. Sammy Watkins, I think, has been very honest over the last week. After the game, immediately saying it, reiterated it in that time at the podium that he had kind of phoned it in. He'd kind of given up on the game. And other guys on the team came to him and said, listen, we're still in this. And he said, okay, yeah, we are. And then he watched Mahomes start working his magic. And everybody was on board. But okay, yeah, we can come back and get it. They needed a spark, the Mecole Hardman kick return, the fake punt that was stopped, whatever you want to hang your hat on as to what it was that actually put an end to it. You know, they believed in the quarterback. Yeah, I've said we argued, and it really doesn't matter whether Tim's right or I'm right. Tim talked about how Patrick Mahomes' words fired people up. I say it's his play. His words don't harm anything, but it's his play. When the best player comes over to you and says, we can do it, on any team you've ever played at, you know he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know if you get in and follow Michael Jordan, we can do it. I've seen him almost single-handedly win games. And we're quickly getting to where the comparisons for Patrick Mahomes are down to just a couple of players. It's Michael Jordan. And they're maybe all basketball players because you're 20% of the team and you play both ways, offense and defense. You know, maybe there's a pitcher that you can feel like that night, we're going to get it done because he's not giving anything up. But Jordan, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
When he was rolling here over the last couple of years, you know, maybe a Magic Johnson, a Larry Bird, LeBron James. You can feel like, oh, no, we've got him, so we're in it. And I think you hear that in Sammy Watkins. Now, Sammy Watkins has got to come to play. And he made some big plays in that last game. But even if Sammy Watkins doesn't, Mahomes will throw to somebody else. They can't just all fold the tent. He needs like two guys to catch his passes, and then he can do it. He needs most of the line to block. Most, not even all. Because he's still got his legs and can evade. And he can do it. That's a special feeling, and the Chiefs have that right now.
And you'll notice nowhere in his comments did he say anything about his sideline rallying cry. It was we discussed this on Monday. It isn't. It's nice to be able to do that, and it may have some small residual effect, but it's what he, if that's done by somebody else, it doesn't. It falls on deaf ears. It's the thing. It's the plays he made in that game. It's throwing two of the most amazing 5-yard passes in franchise history. The second and third touchdowns, I think it was, to Kelsey, were throws that very few quarterbacks can make because of the spatial awareness we've talked about with Mahomes. There was a play, the long pass, it was to Watkins. There was a play, a longer pass to Watkins when they were going, I think it would have been second quarter, where he just looks off the safety just enough to give him the spot. Just the things he mentioned, the things he does with his eyes, and that's one of the things he's talking about. Just to give him that 1 second to get the ball to a guy who can then make a play, and he does that 3 or 4 times a game. That's what gives his teammates confidence. Not, come on, guys, let's go. That means nothing if you don't do what he does with his right arm.
If you can't play, it doesn't work. Listen, I'll ask this. Number one, again, I got to ask the Andy Reid thing. I'm interested in anybody's prediction in the game. That's number one. Number two, we're not talking about Andy Reid in any kind of negative fashion right now, but if he loses, what does it mean? I was just asked in Cleveland if Chiefs fans feel cursed and are negative about this game because they think they're cursed. And my answer was there's a magic wand that erases that, and that's Patrick Mahomes. I said, now, lose this game tomorrow, and yes, Chiefs fans will feel that way, at least until you see the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes next week. And I was asked in Florida this morning about what is the expectation for the next 10 years? Right? It's not a question you'd ask Andy Reid. He's got to beat the Titans. Then he's got to beat whoever comes out. But where are we? We kind of touched on this. I said, you know, we hit on it a little bit. Would we take John Elway? 5 Super Bowl appearances and 2 championships. You know, they were interested in what's the vibe like on what the next 10 years are going to be. My vibe is that we're going to the Super Bowl this year and it ain't going to be the last time. I said probably 3 Super Bowls, 2 wins. I said, and maybe that's lofty when you consider Aaron Rodgers only has 1 appearance and 1 win. But I think that's where we are. I wouldn't be so arrogant to say 9 in the next 20. Mm-hmm. With 6 championships the way Tom Brady has, but we're expecting some big things. What are the expectations? Do you buy that Andy Reid, my theory, that Andy Reid has just been waiting to have his great quarterback, and now that he has him, Andy Reid is not going to be stopped. And by that I mean the Chiefs are going to 4 of the next 10 Super Bowls, 3 of the next 8 Super Bowls, that there is a great run coming from the Kansas City Chiefs. 913-810-810. We'll take a break. You're in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Who's lost a tremendous amount of weight from last year, but still is a very big man.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Talking Chiefs football here in the program. It's a Red Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We're fired up. Don't forget, you can get your tickets. Our friends at ticketsforless.com got you covered with your tickets. Our friends over at E. Edwards Workwear got your cold weather gear, eeworkwear.com. And our friends over at Rally House have got all your Chiefs paraphernalia, everything you need to be looking like a true fan or decorate the man cave or office, show your pride. Rally House has you covered like nobody's business. Thanks to all our fine sponsors and friends. I know the guys at, you know, Brogdon, huge Chiefs fans, Worth, Harley North, those guys all fired up. I've been talking to a lot of folks. The whole town, enjoy it, Kansas City. I think we're going to watch history on Sunday. I like the Chiefs. My prediction, 31-17. Chiefs get it done in this game, and I think it's going to be quite a celebration for us all. Quite a little party.
Agreed.
Jed said he might try weed if the Chiefs win.
I will. I promise.
He also may try it if they lose.
I will. I promise.
There's a chance I'll consume a Corona. Premier. Lower carbs, less calories. Corona Premier. Looking to, you know, trim down the equator or waistline. Should be a good weekend. Looking forward to it. 913-3810-810. We're talking about Andy Reid being cursed. Expectations for this weekend. Let's start things off with our buddy Jazzy Jay. Jay, you're in the program. What's going on, bud?
Saran, I love your show.
I love you being a part of it, my friend.
I listen every day on your podcast, so thanks for a great show every day.
You bet. Thank you.
Hey, I just had a comment, or 2 comments, actually. One, if you're the Chiefs and you win, or we'll say lose the coin toss, I know we're getting down to grain roll here. How about you receive the ball for once and go down and score a touchdown? Because what you don't want to happen is to defer, they do a methodical 7.5-minute drive down the field, and Derrick Henry scores from the 2-yard line.
So you're saying you have no confidence in your defense?
I'm not saying I have no confidence, but why don't we set the tone from the beginning of the game and put the pressure on them? I think the game starts and has a much different look.
Again, Jay, you have no confidence in your defense, because wouldn't your defense coming out and stuffing Derrick Henry 3 times and forcing a 3-and-out set a tone for the game as well? Giving your offense a short field? Scoring and going up 7-0 that way, and then knowing you're going to start the second half with the ball, wouldn't that set a tone as well?
It would, Seren, no doubt. But two things to keep in mind. One, I think Vrabel is more likely to go for it on 4th down, so there's that. And two, I have more confidence in my offense than my defense. I'm not saying I have no confidence in my defense. I'm just saying I have a better confidence level about my offense, and that's just me being a Chiefs fan. But last note, maybe this is more of a question for Curtis, and the Chiefs are going to play a 10-6 Houston team regular season, and now they're going to play a 9-7 Tennessee team. I don't think this has to be the easiest by win percentage road to the Super Bowl ever. I mean, could it be handed out to a silver platter for the Chiefs any more than that, just based on win percentages? And I think the answer is no. I mean, we're not having to pay the Patriots or Baltimore. This is the easiest road ever to the Super Bowl. And I'll finish with this. My prediction is 38-17 Chiefs. I think this is they're coming into a storm in Kansas City, and I'm looking forward to Victory Monday with you guys. Love your show, and all that's off the air, guys.
All right, Jay, thank you for the call, buddy. We appreciate it.
He thinks he knows they're going to – I could just see Derrick Henry go down the field and punching it in. But he thinks the Chiefs are going to win.
But he knows they're going to win.
But they're going to win by 21. So who cares?
He knows they're going to win.
At some point, the defense is going to have to be out there. And if it's out there at 7-0 or nothing, I mean, the old adage always was, I mean, at least I used to hear, whatever your best foot forward is, you put out there. And I remember.
Which would back him up, which you'd say, put the offense out there.
In Super Bowl 29, that was the 49ers and the Chargers. The Chargers won the toss and elected to defer, so they put their defense out there. Like, well, I guess Bobby Ross thinks his defense is the side of the football. It's more likely to make a statement. And then the Niners scored in 3 plays. And I remember Dan Dierdorf going, well, that was some statement the defense made. And it was it. I mean, I get that part of it, but you still have to play on both sides eventually to win.
Yeah. I mean, I think the coin toss is overrated. I think it's minimal amount of strategy. The Chiefs didn't win because they got the ball to start the second half last time. The Texans won and wanted the ball. Yep. They went out and scored and made a statement. What did it do? You're still going to play 60 minutes of football. Chiefs played 45 and still won. But I get it. Listen, for me, I'm always going to defer. And I'm going to count on the fact that I'm never going to put a turd out there on defense.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like
if your defense is so bad, then why are we even playing this game?
And at a time when everybody in the NFL uses their first couple of series to somewhat probe and figure out how you're going to defend, you know, to me, you've got something where you can come out and go for the kill.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, well, Mike Vrabel might go for it on 4th down. He might. And he might get stopped, and the Chiefs get the ball at the Titan 35-yard line.
Yeah.
You know, 2 minutes into the game, 3 minutes into the game, and boom, you're up and you're off and running.
We you know, the Titans have been winning because they've been getting turnovers and playing from in front, not because they've been getting stops
right
and playing from in front. They've been taking it away, which are stops, I guess.
Battle
of semantics there. But, look, there's nothing wrong with the Chiefs deferring. You have a real defense. They're not going to go out there and just wet themselves. I mean, I get your point, but I'd rather try to steal the back-to-back possessions because I think it is an absolute psychological killer. When you throw in halftime, and if you can finish off the half possessing the ball for 4 or 5 minutes and then come out and start again, and if you put back-to-back touchdowns up and maybe a team was beating you 17-13 and now they're looking at 27-17, that is an absolute backbreaker. And I don't think you can have a backbreaker unless you get those back-to-back possessions. So give yourself at least the opportunity for it. The game will not be won in the first quarter. If anybody... any fan base should know that. It's this one after last week. 913-3-810-810. Let's talk to where am I going here? Sean, you're in the program. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Seren, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
You know what, Seren, I'm listening, and I got a question. When was the last time a running back ran for over 100 yards on the Chiefs? That's the question, because they've been pretty good versus the run.
They have. They've been giving up an average of 95 yards per game in their win streak. They gave up 94 last week. Somebody might have ticked it off. I know as a team a couple of them have, but it might be Derrick Henry in his 188.
Right, but you said 94 yards last week, so that was between Deshaun Watson and Hyde, right?
Yes, mostly.
Okay, so they've been good versus the runner. They played down the stretch of this win streak. They played good backs. They went up against Gordon, Eckler. They played Jacobs. They played Lindsey. So it's not like, you know, there's only a handful of great running backs in the league, and every team doesn't play every great running back, you know, throughout the season. So they've been good, you know, against the run for the most part than they were in the first half of the season. So, you know, and looking at the conferences today that, you know, some of the guys were doing, like, you know, they were anxious to – they're anxious to come across Henry this time around. So I'm pretty sure they're going to put some hats on him, and it's not going to be like the first game. And I heard you saying about Andy Reid, about the jinx. I'm in South Jersey, home. You know, it's Philadelphia country, country down here. So I wouldn't say it's an Andy Reid jinx. For me, watching the games when the Eagles were, you know, they had their run with Reid, he got out-coached, and it just seemed like when the game was on the line, he made a lot of bad decisions. And for the most part, Reid didn't have a quarterback like he has now. Donovan McNabb was good, but he wasn't Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I 100% agree, and I've been beating that drum for a long time. And, Sean, thanks for the call. You know, I'd ask you to just think about this. What was the bad decision? Every play works on the blackboard. Okay, every play works on the blackboard, and I've described this many, many times, particularly the ones where he's close. When you've got to go down the field and get there, against a short clock, and you find yourself throwing for 6 yards and running for five and throwing for four and taking the check downs, you're not going to get down there. And that's what I watched with Alex Smith. And frankly, I can't go back and tell you I watched every game the Eagles played, but I'm a big Donovan McNabb fan. And I don't remember it looking like what I see with Patrick Mahomes. Looked better than Alex Smith, and the success was higher than Alex Smith in the postseason. But it didn't look like it does with Patrick Mahomes. It's a whole other world. Andy Reid's going to get a lot smarter over the next few years as he coaches Patrick Mahomes.
As far as the 100-yard rushers, the last one to do it was Josh Jacobs of the Raiders. He was 17 for 104.
Okay.
But him and Derrick Henry.
A whole other first half, too.
Yeah. He and Derrick Henry are the only two running backs to run for 100 yards over against the Chiefs since Carlos Hyde did it in Week 6. They had four in the first 6 weeks. They've only had two since then.
Yeah, so they've been a lot better. We'll take a break. Darren McFarland going to join us from ESPN 102.5 in Nashville. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Yeah! It's showtime. Let's start. It's fun time. Here we go.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, what's going on with the Tennessee Titans? We find out right now. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, proudly brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. Very soon, the weather will turn, and you'll want the Harley of your dreams. Check them out right now at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Darren McFarland from ESPN 102.5 in Nashville joins us here on our Sprint Guest Line. Darren, how are you, sir?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Very good. Tell me, where is or at what level is the confidence from Titan fans that their team is going to complete this incredible run and make their way to Miami?
Well, I just completed a four-hour radio show today. We were at a big, huge liquor store in Nashville, and either half the city is coming to your city and the other half are staying here and evidently throwing a massive party, because I've never seen that many people come through a liquor store and walk out with that much liquor. So there's going to be some huge parties in Nashville, at least from what I could see from the last 4 hours.
Are they confident that the party will end well?
Well, yeah, they are. It's interesting because this has been a unique wave that Nashville's been on. And there's been a lot of comparisons because 3 years ago, the hockey team in town, the Nashville Predators, where they were the last team in the playoffs, and they had an up-and-down regular season, weren't even sure if they were going to get in the playoffs. They were literally the last team to make the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, and they made this magical run to the Stanley Cup final against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So there's been a lot of those comparisons because this Titans team was sitting there at 2-4, and Mike Vrabel had come out last offseason with the, we're going to go from good to great, and so there had been all that talk, and, you know, we're sitting here in this market after six games going, great, they're not even good. So, you know, that created all kinds of storylines nobody could even see at that point and even shortly after. Honestly, even with the win over you guys, which I know was the last loss for the Chiefs, even after that big win in Nashville, there was so much doubt all the way to the end until really Houston was going to sit everybody, and then everybody felt pretty good they were going to go to the Texans and beat them to punch their ticket in the playoffs. But all season long, it's been nothing but just doubt for good reason. I mean, just nobody could see this coming. And then they go to New England, they beat the Patriots, and then, you know, last week happened where I felt good about the Patriots game. I really felt like they could win that game. I did not feel good about Baltimore, and if you'd have told me they were going to hold the Ravens to 12 points, I mean, I'd still be laughing, but they did it.
Where was the reaction when Ryan Tannehill was brought in, and then what was the reaction? When did the tide turn and there started to be a belief in Tannehill? I'm sure there was, like, you know, throw in the towel, like you just said, at six games at 2-4. He finished that sixth game and then started the seventh. But how do they react initially when he was brought in, and when did the fans start to believe that he was a guy that could take him into a playoff run?
I guess it really depends on who you ask in this market. I am one that has been screaming on Nashville airways for 2 years for John Robinson, the general manager, to please go out and get a better backup quarterback. Nothing against Marcus Mariota. It's been a mixed bag the whole time he's been here. There's been a hardcore, staunch believers in Marcus Mariota. And, of course, there's been this big group piling up over the years, especially the later it went, of doubters. And I started to, especially in the last couple of years, start to question and doubt whether Marcus Mariota was good enough. Just because I've been in this market on air for 17 years, and I've been through Vince Young and Jake Locker and high draft picks that they've had over the years. You know, they took Vince Young really high and Jake Locker really high, and early on it looked, especially Vince Young, it looked really good. Jake Locker unfortunately dealt with a lot of injuries, and anytime you would lash out on those guys, people in this market would really get very defensive, like, how dare you? And I saw how that played out, and quite honestly, I started having the same vibes about Marcus Mariota. It was nothing against him. Obviously, he's a great guy to deal with. He's, you know, who, if you had a daughter, you would want your daughter to meet Marcus Mariota. He's an incredible human being, but I just wasn't sure if he was going to be good enough at this level. And, you know, having Blaine Gabbert or Matt Cassel, those backups were just not good enough. And John Robinson finally pulled the trigger, and he went out and got Ryan Tannehill. So I guess it really depends on who you ask. It had started to grow against Mariota, especially after the start. So I would say to your question, how did people in this market feel? I think even the people that had defended Mariota were kind of ready for a change. So it was kind of met with open arms, and everybody was willing to see what Tannehill had. And obviously he got off to the fast start, and it's been all Tannehill all the time ever since.
How popular is Mike Vrabel now?
Hey, when you're winning, everybody's popular.
Right, but he doesn't just win. He does it in a somewhat colorful fashion. I mean, I know he's not bombastic, but, you know, I talked to him at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe for about half an hour, and his sarcasm and his dry sense of humor and his self-deprecating sense of humor. I mean, he was a lot of fun to talk to, and I've been on a couple of now teleconferences with the guy when he's played the Chiefs, and he drops in some of that humor as well. I think the guy's great as an individual, and I think he's proven to be a pretty damn good football coach. I'm curious, you know, do people believe that they're in good hands here for the long haul?
Look, it has been an interesting ride. It's hard to believe it's just year two, but in fairness, at first he was very abrasive, a little rough around the edges, sandpaper, maybe 40-grit sandpaper, and you were kind of expecting, like, this guy that came from the, you know, the Patriots to kind of, it's going to look and feel like Bill Belichick, and, you know, everything is going to be guarded. And there was some of that early on, but I will give him a lot of credit. Mike Vrabel listens. He listens to what people are saying. It doesn't mean he's going to do it, but he does listen, probably just like his players and his coaching staff. And he's going to figure out what's best, but I'll give it to him. At least he's open to that. And he's really changed. He's really changed, in my opinion, for the better. I think he has had a lot of questionable calls as a head coach, especially early on, but that's gotten a lot better. He's gotten looser with the media. He's just gotten looser overall. He's kind of put his guard down and realizes that everybody's not out to get him. And I realize a lot of it, that's what drew, you know, that was his drive as a player. It's why he lasted 14 years. I mean, I don't need to tell you. You guys know Mike Vrabel in your market, and you covered him and you're around him. But I'll give him credit. He has really changed a lot, and I think all for the better. I think he's really grown into the role of a head coach. Some of the problems that I had early on is I felt like he was still acting like a player and not a head coach. And I've really seen him grow into this role. And like I said, it's hard to believe it's just year two, but there's no doubt that there is a buy-in with this team. They have bought into Mike Vrabel and his system and what he's selling. And as a head coach, that's all you can ask for, right? I mean, they're in this position, and he's a big part of it.
Is there any sign, and we're talking to Darren McFarland from ESPN 102.5 in Nashville, is there any sign of Derrick Henry wearing down?
It's the answer is no, and I don't think any of us realized how critical Mike Vrabel, sitting him out in that New Orleans Saints game, the second to last game of the season. It was incredibly smart as he dealt with that hamstring the week prior against the Houston Texans. There is no doubt you could see it as the game went along. That hamstring was playing a factor into the game. It was wearing him down. He did not look the same. In fact, he left the game and did not return. And so you knew that was going to be a factor, and then it was, oh, no, this is the end of the season. These games are critical. If they don't have 22 running the ball, they're in huge trouble. They have to win these games. And Mike Vrabel knew that an NFC game wasn't going to be as critical in trying to get into the playoffs as that final game of the season against an AFC opponent, more importantly, a division opponent. So he sat him out of the New Orleans game, and who knew how big that was going to be, because ever since just sitting out a week, Derrick Henry has been on a tear, as you know, and as everybody has seen. All he's done is break record after record after record. So I don't think anybody knew how invaluable sitting him out versus New Orleans in that second-to-last game of the season where they lost to the Saints, how big that was going to be for Derrick Henry moving forward. Because to answer your question, I mean, I don't know how anybody could say right now that man is slowing down. It's like now you're just trying to figure out every week, does he get 200 this week? I mean, it's almost like asking about will he rush for over 100 yards is a joke because of what he's done. So there's no signs of that, and that's kind of the way people in this market feel about Patrick Mahomes. There's no sign of him slowing down either.
Last question. We talk about it all the time here, and that is in the first game that the Chiefs had a fumble that was picked up and returned 54 yards for a touchdown. They missed an extra point, muffed a snap on a field goal, which ended up, you know, going as basically a turnover on downs, and then had a field goal blocked. That's 14 points from mistakes that the Chiefs fans and the Chiefs organization would say are mistakes where we beat ourselves. How much does that, is that part of the narrative when Titan fans talk about, and you talk about how that first game played out?
Well, if we're talking about the first game, there's no doubt. There's no way you can talk about that game and not talk about special teams in that game. Special teams was critical. As you mentioned, Kansas City muffing the kick, getting the kick blocked. Kalu admitting after the game that the Titans had figured out the snap count of the Chiefs. They knew when they were going to hike the ball. There's no way you can go into this game thinking that that's going to be a factor again. I think what's amazing is how much we've talked in our market about I don't even know if you guys even know who the Titans kicker, who he is. I mean, how would you? He's never attempted a field goal. I mean, it's amazing. I don't think I've ever seen a team that's been in playoff mode for the last 3 weeks, considering what was at stake in the final game of the regular season, and now two playoff games on the road. They haven't attempted a field goal in over a month. The NFL has decided by field goals week in and week out, multiple games, and the Titans haven't attempted a field goal. This kicker is, we call him the extra point specialist. That's all he is. We even laughed about it today, and it was a part of today's show. Will the Titans attempt a field goal against Kansas City? And it's become a joke in this market. I don't even know how you win games in the NFL without having to kick a field goal, but I'll be curious to see if the Titans line up for one in Kansas City on Sunday. But, you know, I don't think what happened to Nashville earlier in the year, I don't think those things are going to be come into play, because that was a pretty unique set of circumstances. But I suspect special teams will be much more buttoned up this go-around.
All right, we're talking to Darren McFarland here, ESPN 102.5 in Nashville, Tennessee. Time for my final four. It's brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. They've got an ortho urgent care that's open 7 days a week. They're also proud to receive the 2019 Press Ganey Guardian of Excellence Award that's given for patient experience. You can learn more, find out for yourself by visiting kcoi.com or by calling 913-319-7633. I will start you with this one, Darren. What is the best bar in Nashville, Tennessee?
Oh, gosh. The best bar. Man, I'm getting old. I don't really go downtown much unless I have to. Anything on 2nd Avenue, well, how about this? Anything on Broadway is going to qualify, because that's basically any and every hot spot in this town is anything on Broadway. I think if you saw the NFL draft, you saw that there were a lot of hot spots during the NFL draft, and 400,000 people that came to Nashville and drank a lot of liquor. So I would say anything on Broadway. I don't get down there much unless I'm working, and so I'm probably not the right person to ask.
All right. Does Nashville get a Major League Baseball team anytime soon?
Boy, that's a topic that just will not go away. It's amazing. And the first time we heard it for years now, and then it just kept coming out. Look, there's a group. We've had him on the show many times. Dave Stewart is part of the group. Tony La Russa is a part of the group. There's a guy with a lot of money from Northern California that's a part of the group. And they're very, very, very serious about bringing Major League Baseball to Nashville. They have plans. They have a name. They talk to the league. How this plays out, I do not know. They would also have to find the right plot of land
right in
downtown Nashville. And this just in, real estate's pretty darn important and pretty expensive now in Nashville. But I do not dismiss it, because I've been dismissive in the past, and it's just a story that will not go away, and there are people in place. So I would say, yeah, I would say within the next 10 years, there will be a team in Nashville.
By the way, what is the name you said?
Oh my gosh, I just drew blanks on the name. Stars.
Nashville Stars. Okay. Interesting. All right. What is Nashville famous for food-wise?
Hot chicken.
What the hell is hot chicken?
Hot chicken. Hot chicken, man. That's what we got. We got a lot of good food in Nashville, but hot chicken.
What is that? Just like spicy fried chicken?
Oh, yeah. Makes
okay.
sweat.
Okay. All right. Well, we're famous for barbecue. And one of our sponsors, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, the finest barbecue in the world. It's where every musical act, every sports team that comes through here makes their way over to Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. This is involved in the next question, because I'm curious your pick of the game. They are willing to wager their world-famous barbecue against anything you want to put up that the Kansas City Chiefs will win.
Oh. Well, I'm always all about food wagers, so count me in.
Okay. Okay.
So I'll tell you what, I'll offer up Hattie B's hot chicken. You got to wait. Yeah, there's a line. You got to wait. You know, they wrap it around the corner at any time of day you go there. So I'm going to wager some Hattie B's hot chicken in Nashville, and you put up the good barbecue in Kansas City.
Okay. All right. We'll do it. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. You can go to joeskc.com. Of course, send barbecue anywhere in the country at Joe's KC. Of course, find the location nearest you. Pick it up and take it home tonight. But I will also tell you there is a line coming out of all three Joe's Kansas City Barbecues here. So you will be a winner even if you're a loser, Darren. So tell me, what's your pick on the game? Do the Titans win? What do you got for who wins and what score?
I got to ride them. I got to ride the hot hand. I think it's going to take. Obviously, they're not going to hold. They held New England to 13. They held Baltimore to 12. There's no way I'm going to go there with Kansas City. It's, to me, they're going to have to be in the 30s to win. I'm going to call 32-27 Titans.
All right. I like it. I like it. And I hope you're enjoying some barbecue. Courtesy of our friends, because we want to win. But we hope everybody enjoys their time up here in Kansas City. Darren, great stuff. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you again down the road.
You guys have fun. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thanks. All right, you too, pal. Darren McFarland from 102.5 The Game in Nashville joining us there in the program, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Joe's is quite confident. Listen, they'll be happy to send it. Because the barbecue they send is phenomenal, and they're the best I've ever heard of about sending food and having it be good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've sent it to people, and they rave about it every time I send it to them. But I think they're pretty comfortable. They're not going to be sending anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hattie B's chicken, it does look hot.
Does it look hot?
I'll shoot some pictures out on Twitter so you can take a peek of it.
Okay. Why has it got a thermometer in it? And
it
says
just
like
looks like
180
that
or
would
something.
Be spicy.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. We'll take a break. Bob Glauber. Our NFL Insider is coming at you next.
Time for our Deli Fresh End of the Hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, what quarterback has the most conference championship game starts without a win? Brought to you by Good Sense.